Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, July 24th. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you have comments or questions for tonight's show, you can give us a call at 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. I ask that if you do call in that you would make sure you silence your background so there's no noise. And as always, we are joined by my sister Denise, and I'm just going to turn it over to her so she can greet you in her own way. Okay, wait, I can't hear. Hold on, let's see. Okay.
She forgot to take me off of mute. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Just very briefly, I wanted to say congratulations to Makeup Artist Magazine and Michael Key on their 20th anniversary issue of the magazine. They have a new issue out on stands now, and if you are a subscriber, your magazine actually should have arrived in the mail. If it didn't arrive, it will probably be arriving soon. But again, congratulations to them on their 20th anniversary issue. It's 20 years of epic artistry celebrating the world's top makeup artists, and they have a great cover that folds out, at least about 15 makeup artists who've been featured in the magazine over the 20 years. They have V. Neal, they have Sam Fine, one of the greats in special effects and creature makeup, Rick Baker. They have Alex Box, Danny Sands from Makeup Forever, Roshar, and you know, the list goes on and on. But if you get a chance, if you're not a subscriber, please consider subscribing, because again, Makeup Artist Magazine is one of the best resources I've come across in the makeup industry, covering special effects, beauty, you know, body painting, you name it. If you want, you can go to makeupmag.com and get a subscription. I think it would be worth the money. And they also have an online version as well, which is a little less expensive than a subscription, but all in all, the subscription is not costly at all, but definitely worth having if you're a makeup artist.
All right, congratulations to Michael Key on his 20-year anniversary. All right, so if there aren't any more announcements. Yeah, really, it really is. All right, so if there aren't any more announcements, I'm going to move on. Tonight's guest. Okay, you know I'm trying to take my time with this. Pina, you know I'm taking my time.
It's okay, I can help you out if you need.
Okay. You know what, I will just say this. Our guest tonight, Dr. Pina Lojudice. How'd I do?
Perfect. You did perfect.
All right. Dr. LoJudy Che has written a book, and it's titled The Little Book of Healthy Beauty. It's simple daily habits to get you glowing, and explores the six master keys to health, longevity, and glowing beauty, which include sleep, food, exercise, relaxation, detoxification, and supplement support. Oh, my God, sleep. That's something I want to talk about. And so she's here tonight to talk about her book and to share with us. And instead of me reading a bio, I'm just going to let her introduce herself. And Dr. Pino, introduce yourself and just tell our listening audience a little bit about your background and what brought you to write this wonderful book.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on tonight. It's a real pleasure. Yeah, so I'm a naturopathic physician and a licensed acupuncturist. So a naturopathic doctor is someone who goes through the same four-year medical school as your conventional medical doctor, but the focus of our training is on holistic medical care. So even though we learn the same basic sciences of anatomy, physiology, pharmacology, we also focus on diet, nutrition, herbal medicine, vitamin therapy. So we really are the doctors who, you know, want to focus on mind, body, and spirit. So we have that training as a conventional doctor in terms of what pharmaceuticals to prescribe. We're experts when it comes to drug-herb interactions. So we're trained as primary care doctors, but obviously our focus is trying to help heal the body and finding the root causes of disease rather than first going and using medications. And so for myself, I'm also a licensed acupuncturist, so I incorporate Eastern and Western medicine. Prior to that, I did medical research at the National Institutes of Health in Washington, D.C. I've been in practice with my husband, Dr. Peter Bongiorno, for 12 years here in New York. So we have two offices, one in Manhattan and one in Long Island that we've been working out of. And I'm trying to think of what else. I think that might be it. And I'm excited to talk about this book. What brought me to this book was, because not everybody has a does not have access to a naturopathic doctor, I basically wanted to write for people what I tell my patients on a daily basis on what they can do to optimize their health. So I figured I wanted to write a book that was very user-friendly, that they could refer back to over and over, and it's just a great book to have in your pocket or, you know, keep in your purse as a reference guide, because this is just stuff that I tell my patients every day for them to feel amazing.
Absolutely. It is a wonderful, it is a wonderful book. It's very easy to read and to follow, the concepts as well. Talk a little bit about, part of your title is Simple Daily Habits to Get You Glowing. Talk a little bit about, in your opinion, what glow and glowing is all about.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. You know, people talk and they feel like, you know, I don't feel good and I don't have that shine about me, and they're not, you know, they don't feel that sense of vitality. So really what I'm trying to articulate is that almost indescribable radiance, that energetic vitality that's exuded by people who are truly healthy and happy. You know, most people feel that, oh, they're just subject to their genetics, or their dad looks like this, or their mom looks like that, or, you know, this is the, you know, pattern that their family takes. And we're finding more and more that that's not necessarily true, that, you know, we have complete control over the genes that we have. And it's just, and we're finding more, it's about the lifestyle factors and, you know, what we eat and how we sleep and the stressors in our life and our environmental factors. And that's what turns on those genes. So it's not really, you know, what just mom and dad had, but we really have the ability to make positive changes so that everybody can have that glow and that vitality.
Absolutely. Now, in your practice, you're dealing, what you're dealing with is mainly a medical type thing, or does it also involve skin?
So in my practice, we're like as a primary care doctor. So if someone doesn't feel good for whatever reason, whether they have, you know, digestive issues or headaches or bad skin or any other skin, any skin issue, you know, heart disease, whatever it is, we're able to look at this person from a natural medicine standpoint, where we still obviously look at the conventional blood work, because there are a lot of things that obviously conventional medicine, that obviously advances in medicine and technology, has been, you know, really been amazing at. So we use those, that information and those technologies, and then we apply these natural medicine techniques so that we can help heal whatever that issue is for that person. So we basically are the epitome of integrative care. So we'll use with conventional medicine and natural medicine in our practice.
Okay. And so the six master keys to health, in your opinion, why are those things the six master keys to health and longevity?
Well, I mean, those are the basic tenets that I learned in my medical school training, that, you know, it's not about the fanciest new supplement or fanciest new, you know, skincare product. I mean, because they're all great. But if you're not working on these six factors of sleep, food, like what you eat, exercise, if you're not relaxed, if you're stressed out, if your body has a lot of burden and you don't do a detox, or your system is overloaded, you know, those are the main underlying philosophies that we focus on with every single patient. And then at the end of it, do we focus on supplements or what topical cream or whatever else the person may need? But everybody needs to work on those major factors. And so what I did is that if a person is unaware of, you know, with really, because sometimes it's very easy for us to, like, just, you know, rush through life and we don't know what's going on, or you kind of just, like, ignore yourself. So what I did is that I made a questionnaire for every of those subject areas, and you could just rate yourself and you could decide, you know what, I'm not sleeping as great as I thought, or I'm not eating as well as I thought, or, you know, I really could, you know, meditate more or do these other things. So it's a great tool to kind of help you become more self-aware for the areas that your body needs help with, because I found over the 12 years of my practice that, you know, our body does talk to us, and it's just a matter of us taking the time, you know, to hone in and say, okay, what does it need, you know, what does it need to grow and prosper and feel strong? And once you're able to do that, people do amazing.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about sleep. How important is it? You always hear people say you should get 8 hours of sleep. Is that accurate, or does it depend on other factors, how many hours we really need to get a sleep?
Well, the research shows actually, you know, people need between 8 and 10 hours, but definitely 8 is the minimum. You know, from my standpoint and all the research that's shown out there, that's kind of why I made it the first master key is sleep. Because people are like, oh, but I exercise, and, you know, I exercise every day, and I'm feeling great. But, you know, if they have poor quality sleep, they're still, the body's still going to get run down and something's going to break. So I tell every patient, it's like, not that I don't want you to exercise, but you really want to get perfect sleep and really work on that above all else. Because if you're not sleeping, the body does not have the ability to detoxify, the brain doesn't detoxify, the immune system does not have the ability to reset, the digestive tract becomes impaired. So there's so many reasons, you know, lack of sleep, you know, impacts our body. And it's funny because, you know, when you're in your 20s and you're, you know, trying to make a career and just, you know, keep pushing, and, you know, that's the first thing that goes. And thankfully, our little stress glands, our little adrenal glands can handle it then. But, you know, over the long run, it does wear on our physiology completely.
Wow, that's something that I struggle with. But part of my problem, I think, is just, you know, sometimes during the day when you can't accomplish everything, and then you try to stay up and do other things, and then you wind up going to bed late, but you wake up early, and you're, you know, it's just that cycle over and over again. So I think for me, that's an easy fix. Just go to bed at night, you know. But then I know that there are other people who have other issues, and, you know, they can't sleep for, you know, various reasons.
Well, I think that's exactly it. I mean, I think what happens is that your body, like exactly like you said, that you try to squeeze in, that last bits of, you know, whatever task, and you really, you know, your body doesn't have any time to wind down and like, okay, and honor yourself and take care of yourself because you've just been plowing through all day. And then people wonder why, you know, I call it monkey mind, where the brain at night just goes, 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 because it's like, okay, now it's quiet and you're in bed and now I have to tell you all these things or I've got to think about all these things because I've just been pushing through all day. So it's a really, what I tell patients all the time is the ideal time to go to bed is between 10 and 10:30. You know, it's okay to let some stuff go. You know, everything doesn't have to be perfectly done or squared away because what happens when you're staying awake above past 10:30, you're re-stressing your adrenal glands. So that's where you're forcing that second wind. But when in actuality, what you're doing is that you're taxing your adrenal glands and you're elevating your stress hormone of cortisol. And I don't know if many people, you know, watch Biggest Loser and those TV shows where the biggest contributor to weight gain, especially to belly fat, is the stress hormone cortisol. It lowers your immune system. It dysregulates your blood sugar. It dysregulates your thyroid. So by just even staying up past, you know, 10:30, you're automatically stressing those glands, and that's without even, you know, doing anything strenuous.
Right.
So I tell patients to, like, slow it down, journal before bed, do a meditation before bed, do, like, an Epsom salt bath. You know, write the stuff down that you feel like, okay, I didn't get this done, so it's out of your head, it's on a piece of paper. You know, these are simple tools to kind of, like, you know, slow your life down a little bit, but without ignoring stuff.
Right.
I know, something to think about, right?
Yes, it is. It really is. I'm sitting here thinking, like, but you're right, you know. And sometimes I feel like because of the lack of sleep, you know, it's, sometimes I feel like if you had the sleep, you could focus more, and when you're more focused, you can get more done. So we kind of do ourselves a disservice.
You're absolutely right.
Trying to stay up and do things.
You're absolutely right, because then you wind up becoming, you know, so then people turn towards caffeine or, you know, other stimulants to kind of get them through the day. But, you know, honestly, it's like, you know, we're wired like the animals, whether we like it or not. I mean, we're supposed to, you know, go to bed when the sun goes down and get up when the sun comes up. So I tell patients, even if they're getting, you know, if they're going to bed at 10 o'clock and they're up at 5 o'clock in the morning, or 5:30, your brain is more wired and ready to go, and you're going to be 10 times more effective than if you went to bed later. I mean, and tons of research has shown the impact on the body as well as on our focus and our ability to think clearly, you know, during those later hours. So I tell patients all the time, you might as well just go to bed because you're going to be 10 times more effective, you know, getting up earlier in the morning and feeling more energetic during that day. Because when you're up at, say, 5:30, you know, it's still just as quiet out. And so you can still get those other tasks done rather than just staying up. But what happens, people feel like, oh, I have this second wind. I should just do it now. But in actuality, you're actually just putting more strain on your body.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Another one of your six master keys you talked about was food. And as I was reading, you were talking about the Mediterranean diet and then the eating for your blood type.
Yep.
Diet. Can you talk a little bit about both of those?
Sure, absolutely. So when people look at there's this research study that studied these parts of the world called blue zones. And blue zones are these areas in the world where the people live the longest. And so they figured out, like, okay, what are these people doing that they can live well over 100? And there are different parts of the world, like there's Sardinia, there's parts in Italy, there's Japan, there's a part of California where these people live way above 100. And what they found is that basically the people who live in these areas take on a Mediterranean diet. So basically a Mediterranean diet is a very simple, where it's lean meats, a little bit of carbohydrates, good healthy fats, a good protein. And what they found is that these people are less likely to have cancer, less likely to have diabetes, less issues with anxiety and depression. So really, it's a wonderful, if I'd say, if there's any type of diet program to follow, it would absolutely be a Mediterranean diet for health and longevity. In my practice, I've also incorporated, which also has, you know, the underlying philosophy of a Mediterranean diet, is the blood type diet. So this diet was actually written by a colleague of mine, Dr. Peter Villadamo, and this book has been in print for, I think it's at least 20 years. I think it's been like the longest book in print or something. It's really quite remarkable for a diet program book. And what they found, what he found, is that depending on your blood type, you can eat. It basically guides you, like, okay, should I be more vegetarian? Should I be more of a meat eater? Should I have more of a balanced protein diet? So, because what happens is that depending on what your blood type is, your body can respond to food by making these compounds called lectins, which can create inflammation, or it can do positive things for your body and turn on good genes. So I always ask my patients, you know, what their blood type is, because, you know, I could have a cardiovascular patient and they're like, you know, I'm a vegetarian, I've got this really high cholesterol, and, you know, I've got this heart disease, and they, you know, because I'm supposed to stay away from meat. And many times I'm like, no, it's the carbohydrates that are bothering your body because you're a blood type O person. And I switch their protein ratios, and their heart disease goes away. I mean, it's amazing. Like, I tell patients all the time, you know, if I didn't see this particular diet work over and over the course of 12 years, obviously I would have canned it. But it's just so remarkable. And honestly, the fellow who wrote this book really is one of the smartest people I've ever had the honor to meet. And, you know, it's, and I feel like if you can incorporate it, and again, I just feel a lot of people, you know, may not like it. They feel like it's bizarre how it can relate to the blood type. But, you know, again, I've clinically seen it work over and over. So it's just like, well, over 12 years, I can't disregard that.
Right. Well, let me ask you, because when you mentioned, you know, being the O blood type, I'm an O blood type, but I know that we're supposed to be meat eaters, but I don't eat red meat. Is that harmful that I'm not eating?
No, it's not harmful. No, it's just, it's basically that your body for fuel requires a lot more animal protein than vegetable protein. So your body does not metabolize vegetable proteins as well as animal protein. So I tell, you know, patients who don't like red meat, you know, just make sure you have, you know, with your meals, a hot, you know, your meals are more protein based. Like, some people are like, oh, I just want to do oatmeal for breakfast, and they'll have, let's say, a salad for lunch, and they'll just eat a piece of chicken for dinner. That's not enough protein for an O-type person. Like, every single meal should have a base first in protein. So I would say, okay, add more chicken or turkey, or, you know, you can have the vegetable proteins too, but try to get in, if you like lamb, like, I don't, you know, I try to get in more of the animal proteins that they like. And obviously I tell patients everything should be organic and preferably, you know, grass-fed, you know, just to optimize their health. But, you know, obviously I've worked with people within that, but I just, for me, it allows me to be like, okay, you know, you than the average Joe require more protein for healing than somebody else. Like, some people can get it, like, you know, like a blood type A person, you know, can be more vegetarian-esque and doesn't need that high protein, you know, intake as an O person. Like, because an O type of body, like, really needs more aggressive exercise. They really need to, like, get their frustrations out. They need to, like, physically, like, kickbox and run where, you know, like, A's, they don't have that type of constitution where they, you know, as the vegetarian, like, yoga, Pilates is totally their speed. And it's funny because when I see blood type A people come in and they're like, oh, I run marathons, but I keep getting injured and I can't heal. It's pretty funny because I find in essence, it's like, well, I don't think your body is meant to be running marathons.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's funny, and especially when they change their training, you know, not to say that they can't run if they, you know, if they love it, and obviously you can't, you know, obviously do things that you love, but it's like if they switch their training a little bit where they incorporate more of these other types of exercise that their body needs, it's amazing how well they do.
Yeah. Wow. And you, I hear you heard you mention exercise a few times. Is it something, are there exercises that we all should do? Because I love to walk, and I, you know, I've read that walking is like one of the best things that anybody could do. Are there certain things that we all should be doing in terms of exercise?
I mean, I definitely think that everybody should be exercising, yes. I mean, that's the first thing. You know, depending on the type of exercise, again, that could be up to the person. There was this great study done in 2015 out of Copenhagen where they tested joggers,
mm-hmm.
you know, joggers versus non-joggers, and that they found that the joggers that ran moderately, which is basically like three times a week, lived 6.5 years longer, and women lived 5.5 years longer than people who did not even run at all. So even if you did like a moderate exercise, whether it's speed walking or walking, you know, that alone is going to increase your longevity by almost 6 years for a woman. It's amazing.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I just tell people, you know, just to get moving. Like, again, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be anything, but at least they're doing something, you know, 3 to 4 times a week, and it doesn't have to be like for 2 hours. It could be, you know, from 30 to 40 minutes. It's
right.
It's sufficient.
Right. Let me go back to food really quickly. I just kind of thought about something.
Sure.
When you were talking about protein, organic and grass-fed proteins, you know, a lot of people talk about turkey bacon, you know, like, you know, and processed foods. Is turkey bacon totally bad? Or, you know, because I don't do the pork or the red meat. But is turkey bacon totally bad?
I don't think it's, I mean, I don't think it's, I mean, I could see your point that it, I definitely think it's better than pork, a pork bacon,
mm-hmm.
hands down. But, you know, the thing, I mean, it is like, okay, like, you know, it's as a processed food, you know, is it the best thing? No. But usually I tell my patients, you know, you do everything in moderation. As long as you're not having,
mm-hmm.
you know, like my patients, like, well, I always eat this and that's all I eat. And it's like, well, I use the metaphor of like, well, that's as if you only drove your car straight. At some point, those mechanisms are going to, you know, break down because,
right.
you know, there's that variety that does not change. So you're always using the same enzymes. You're always using the same metabolic pathways, and your body's even going to break down. So your body loves variety. So,
right.
you know, and that's funny, as humans are always, you know, creatures of habit, but I always encourage, you know, to change up the diet as much as possible because the body does appreciate that. You know, so it's not about eating the same thing every day.
Mhm. Okay. Let's talk about detoxing.
So the short answer, sorry to finish that thought. So you can have your turkey bacon, but you know,
okay.
not have it every day.
Not have it every day. Okay. Okay. Because you were talking about, you know, people who like to eat oatmeal for breakfast, and that's me. And sometimes I would have oatmeal and turkey bacon. Because you're talking about adding, you know, protein to every meal, and you know, because it's a processed thing.
No, I think it's a good choice. I mean, I would also, for you as an O, add also some chopped nuts for extra protein.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
okay.
again, you know, if you feel like, you know, you've been having the turkey bacon every day instead of having that, you know, different companies make organic. And again, they're still processed, but again, it's a different protein, like organic chicken sausage, or you can do, you know, even like the oatmeal with a side of you know, toast with the nut butter, because now you're getting an additional protein and it's more filling.
Gotcha.
So you can add variety to the breakfast that way.
Okay. So, you know, people are always talking about detoxing and different ways to go about it. What do you suggest?
Yeah, so I definitely recommend, I always recommend for everybody, just because of the world that we live in, to do a detox, whether it's once or twice a year. Because basically our bodies do store these toxins, which contribute to our aging. You know, and there are different signs and symptoms, like dullness in the eyes, bloating, hormonal ups and downs, you know, blemishes, fatigue. So all these different things can impact our body and age us faster. So what I usually recommend is to do a deep, again, if you're on multiple drugs or different pharmaceuticals, I would say consult your physician. But there's so many ways to do a very gentle detox. I mean, you can, even just by simply cutting out the stuff that, and everyone knows what's bad for them, whether it's the cigarettes or the alcohol or the processed foods, not drinking enough water. Like, even if people did a couple of days of that, their body would say, thank you. You know, you can do a detox, you know, a one-day detox, and I've had many of my patients do a 21-28-day detox. So there's different ways to go about it, but always I would say, you know, try to speak with your physician, because, again, if you're on multiple pharmaceuticals, a detox will change how those medications get metabolized.
Right. So it's based on the person in their particular situation.
Right. And, you know, if someone's coming in and they're young and, you know, I feel like their body can handle it, then I'd say, yeah, definitely, you know, do at least, at minimum, a week to 2 week detox. If this is someone, you know, doing a detox for the first time, you know, then I would say, okay, maybe try it for a couple of days, like, you know, 1 to 3 days. And again, it's something where someone can just introduce where they just have organic foods in their diet for those couple of days, or people can introduce different, you know, herbal teas, you know, to help their body detox, or introducing more, you know, dark leafy greens that they normally don't eat, like doing something a little bit more bitter, like dandelion or Swiss chard or kale, like something like that. But there's so many ways that you can do a detox. I think for a beginner, I would not recommend just fasting. Some people recommend that as a detox.
Right.
I feel like that might be too hard on the body at first. Like, I'd rather than, you know, do something along where they're having, you know, a lot of teas or with some fruit and some vegetables, and that could be a good, you know, starter cleanse. But definitely just going cold turkey, I don't recommend.
What do you think about juicing, cold pressed juices?
I love them. I think they're really tasty.
Mm-hmm.
they're really good for the body. It's and I think it's a great way, you know, to help your body even on a daily basis. Like, you know, if someone can juice every day,
right?
I think it's wonderful because it also eliminates, you know, the overall burden on the system, you know, and there's so many types of juices that one can make for yourself that will do different
mm-hmm.
things. Like, you could add, you know, a juice that has a lot of cilantro and parsley and kale, and that's more of a, and lemon, that's really of a liver purging, detoxing one, where you could, you know, just juice on a daily basis with milder vegetables like cucumber and spinach and some apple, and again, it's a little bit lighter on the system. You know, I tell patients, you know, it's easy for them to go for their super sweet juices like the carrot and the carrot beet ginger type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to remember there's a lot of sugar in those.
Okay. I'm glad you said that because I love carrots, beets, and ginger.
I mean, it's really lovely, but, you know, in terms, they're very, those in essence are very high sugar vegetables, except for the ginger. You know, so if you want, like I tell patients, if you're going to juice, you know, again, like everything else, you know, change it up so your body, you know, is not constantly doing the same thing.
Right. Gotcha. So speaking of those vegetables that are high in sugar, how much natural sugar is too much?
Well, it's really what the person's body can handle and really on their body weight. Like, so I really don't measure, like, I never keep guidelines for patients that way, unless they're a diabetic. So I just try to have them alternate their fruits and vegetables, and even to, and especially if they're trying to lose weight, you know, definitely avoiding those higher sugar fruits, like the tropical fruits of, like, mango, papaya, the melons, bananas, grapes, those are all super high sugar fruits versus, let's say, apple, pear, pineapple. Those are lower sugar fruits that people tolerate better to help them lose weight. Everything's within moderation.
Okay, I have another question. You may laugh at this. But my sister and I, we have a new weakness.
Which is?
And it's bubble tea.
So I know that stuff is addicting. I could see why you guys are fascinated with it. I mean, it's basically, there is a lot of sugar in those. And that tapioca, you get it with the pearls in there, right?
Right.
Yes.
You guys are so funny. Yeah, so those are pretty high sugar. I mean, because really, even though they're not, I'm pretty certain that they make those gluten-free. It's just the tapioca starch that makes those little bubbles.
I don't do the tapioca. I just do the other, like, fruity ones. They have, like, strawberry or whatever.
Is it just a smoothie then?
No, it's the little popping pearls, I guess they call them.
Yeah.
So it's not the tapioca, but it's just little like little fruity balls.
I still think it's made out of the same way, so I think it's still like a carbohydrate, you know, the whole thing. I'm gonna look this up after I hang up with you guys.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure
I should just. I should just limit them to one a week. Is that okay?
I would think so. I mean, I'm sure they would have the calorie content, the sugar content when, depending on how many ounces you get.
Well, and you can get it like, you know, the regular sweetness strength, and then you can get it less sweet and then 50% less sweet.
Oh, interesting. Is there something like in stores? Like, I haven't seen this. So they just, is it, they're like a chain that sells it?
Well, they're not, I haven't seen any chains, but they're different, like, privately owned little tea bars. And
yeah, the ones by me, I've had where they just do the traditional, like, with the big tapioca ball, you know, tea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I have to look this up.
Oh, this place has, oh, my God, they have the creamy ones, the signature creamies. It's like a complete menu for days. And it's like you have the creamy ones, then you can get those non-dairy products in those if you want. And then you have the ones that are just kind of like fruity or, you know, but they're all tea-based, of course. And pretty much we always get ours like less sweet because I really don't like when I have to have
I'm sure that, you know, the tea is the base of the liquid, but it's always the, other stuff around it that's always the part in question.
Yeah. And they have more than just the tapioca pearls. They have every flavor you can come up with.
Oh, interesting.
The place that we go to is called Tiny Bubbles. But they're, you know, they're all over, and they're really popular in London as well.
Oh, really? Where are you guys based?
Mm-hmm. No, we're in Georgia. We're in Atlanta.
Oh, great. All right. I'm going to have to look it up tonight.
Right. so it's pretty interesting, but we were kind of addicted, and then we were like, okay, this is getting out of hand. Let's just save it for the weekend and not every day. but we may just take it down to just one a week.
Yeah, honestly, they should have, I mean, any place like that should have the, you know, amount of sugar per serving, you know, in
right.
there. You know, and if you're
right.
looking above, you know, 10 grams, I mean, you know, 35 grams, you might as well drinking a can of Coke, you know.
Right, which I don't do.
Right, but it's, I mean, but that's the same impact on your body. I mean, that's the thing. Many people
right.
think, oh, let me just, like, load myself with, like, juices. But, you know, there is something, you know, the load, like, the impact that it does on the body is, you know, to be just as strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know, you guys are going to have to email me if you go to the store and find out.
We will. We will for sure. We will for sure. So you have 5 great tips for radiant skin and hair. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. So when it comes to skin and hair, I always recommend a few things. You know, the first thing is, you know, again, if you're doing all those things that I talked about prior in terms of, you know, what you eat and how you sleep, how you relax, like all those will play a huge impact on what's going on in your body overall, especially with your skin and your hair. Because most people think that their, you know, skin issues are external, and this goes for acne, eczema, psoriasis, any of those problems. But they're really all internal inflammatory problems. So you first, by all means, have to address that. And then for women, you know, dealing with great skin and hair is always a balance of hormones. So as we get older, and unfortunately those hormones decide to fluctuate and diminish, that's basically when you'll see, you know, the hair thinning or the hair texture start to change. So those are all factors involved with that. So I always recommend besides, again, doing all those things, what are some good supplements for good skin and hair? And probably my two favorites are the black currant oil, and the other one is pycnogenol. Like they work really well.
Now, can you recommend an all-natural product for those people who are kind of allergic to almost everything? You know, so they don't wear sunscreen. Because they're, you know, they're pretty much allergic to everything they put on their skin. Is there something out there that you could do for someone who's allergic to certain products, but they still need to be wearing sunscreen?
Well, I mean, it depends on their. I mean, that's a tough question because it depends on their allergen. You know, how severely allergic. I mean, are they talking about allergic to just the typical over the counter ones, or have they tried the more natural, you know, cleaner zinc oxide ones, you know, really, you know, that would be one of those two factors. I mean, and honestly, a lot of times I'll tell patients if they're super allergic, they could even try just taking some carotenes like vitamin E or vitamin A, because, again, mm-hmm. research has shown that when you supplement with those, it actually can help your body with sunblock, you know, and taking vitamin D. So it actually inherently on your own can help from the sun damage. But obviously you have to be mindful. So it really would kind of depend on, you know, how, you know, allergic the person is. But I always tell patients when it comes to sunblock or skincare to try to use as clean organic products as much as possible.
Right. And, you say that you shouldn't shower immediately after being out in the sun. Why is that?
Right, because, you know, as we all know how important vitamin D is, the vitamin D actually is still transforming in that first layer of skin. So if you wash right after sunbathing, you're not going to get the beneficial effects of why vitamin D is so good for you. You know, what we're finding in research is that, you know, yes, by having people wear more sunblock, they're they're diminishing skin cancers, but we're also finding a huge rise in heart disease and other cancers because of this lack of vitamin D. So I tell patients it's crucially important that you know your vitamin D levels, because many patients will go to their doctor and the doctor will say, okay, it's fine, but you should always, always, always get copies of your lab reports, because then you need to see for yourself, because there's a lab range of like, okay, this is your results with what the lab deems appropriate, but then there's an optimal physiological range where like, okay, where does the body really function best? And so with vitamin D, if you're not between 60 and 80, you're actually deficient. So many doctors, the lab value, the bottom number is 30. So they're like, okay, if you're at 31, 32, they'll say that you're fine, but in actuality, you're really not, because, and then people will wonder, you know, why am I constantly sick, or why am I depressed, or, you know, why do I have all these other autoimmune issues? And if you make sure that your vitamin D is up in those values, people do markedly, markedly better for health. And I think the only thing I wanted to, the only other thing I wanted to add too is getting back to your question with people who are allergic. Also, eating food sources of carotene is a great way, you know, for your body to be self-protective by eating foods that are like basically orange, like what's high in vitamin A, like the pumpkin, sweet potato, you know, carrots and, you know, salmon, things like that, or, you know, just even through a food base is very good for the skin.
Nice. So let's talk about these vitamins. And I know you're just talking about, you know, vitamin D and then A. What are some of the vitamins that everyone should be taking?
Well, I mean, I always recommend a basic three, just because, again, of the toxic world that we live in, and because our soils, even with organic foods, are nutrient depleted, I recommend three things. So I definitely recommend a good high-quality multivitamin. I always recommend a very high-quality omega oil, like a fish oil. Always recommended a very high-quality probiotic, because we're not a culture that eats a lot of fermented food, as in Asian cultures. And since 75% of our immune system is in our digestive tract, having a very good microbiome or good flora is essential for your immune health. And so even for that highly allergic skin, you know, person who's allergic to everything, you really want to check that they have good flora, because that could be contributing as to why they're so sensitive.
Gotcha. Now, I use, I was doing one a day for women, but now I do Alive for women. Is that a good multivitamin?
I don't know that brand. I mean, I never recommend a one a day for a multivitamin, because your body just doesn't like, I don't like a one a day multivitamin for a couple of reasons. One is that your body doesn't like its vitamins in one huge bolus, one big dose. Your body likes things in little divided doses so it could utilize it better. So that's why I always recommend a multivitamin that you'd have to take even three times a day, because your body can use that vitamin better. And then the other reason, on one-a-day multivitamins, they usually use a poorer quality of vitamin, because when you use a better quality vitamin, usually those vitamins are bigger, and you can't really fit that into a tablet. So that's why when they use a better quality vitamin, that's why they need a few more doses of it, because it's structurally larger, you can't get it all into one capsule. So these one-a-day tablets are always going to use a poorer form of the vitamin, and really the form that your body can't even metabolize half the time. So you're taking this one-a-day thinking you're doing a good thing, but your body's not even using it, because let's say, for example, I'm not going to name names of companies, but, you know, they'll use, you know, calcium, for example, they'll use a calcium carbonate, which is basically chalk. And I'm like, okay, what is your body going to do with that? Or, you know, magnesium oxide is a poorer form of magnesium. So, but when you use, you know, better forms, the body's like, I could use this.
Gotcha. Wow, you're giving me a lot to think about.
Yeah.
A lot to think about. What's
no,
the
but
basic
it's good. I mean,
overall?
I think that's why, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I said I think that's why I think the book is so helpful, because it really hits on every single one of these subject areas, and mm-hmm. I provide other resources or, you know, place the people to look at my website for more information, you know, and so that, you know, people can constantly be learning about healthcare, because there is, you know, so much to think about. But I think that's why I think I'm really pleased on how the book came out, because it really highlights the area, you know, that we should be focusing on. So, which is, I'm really happy with that.
Right. Absolutely. You're right. I think it, you know, the book does cover all the areas that we should be focused on. You know, and as I was reading, I was just making mental notes of things that I need to either do better with or things that I need to change. But like I said, I think it's a great, it's one of those books I kind of like want to keep in my purse type of thing and like always refer to.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Let me ask you, because my sister and I are both, I was looking at this varicose vein thing here, and we both are makeup artists for film and television, and so we work a lot of long hours, and a lot of that time we're standing a lot,
standing
up and up and down. But what can we do to protect our legs?
Right. Well, definitely the first thing is wearing a good. I know this is like almost sacrilegious in the fashion industry, but really having a supportive shoe
is
really helpful, you know, because, you know, walking around in heels and stilettos is definitely very damaging for the back and the leg, and it puts more strain on the body. But that being said, you know, what I always recommend to help minimize, besides the very good diet that's high in bioflavonoids like vitamin C. There's another one called quercetin, but in the book I write about one in particular called hesperidin. Hesperidin is a wonderful bioflavonoid, which is found in many citrus family, like the lemons and oranges. And I think many people are familiar with that stringy white part of oranges. So this is where all that beautiful bioflavonoids. So I see people, like, when they open an orange, you know, taking that stringy part and throwing away, and I'm like, no, you should eat that. it's really good for you, because actually what it does, it has this hesperidin in it that helps your venous tone and tightens the veins and reduces the stagnation of the blood, which is the pooling. So it actually completely lowers the inflammation within the vein itself. So I really do, I do love that a lot. And so I recommend about 500 milligrams a day. So again, you can get it through pill or through food sources of like oranges, tangerines, grapefruit. So again, you know, food is our medicine. You know, food is information for our body. It tells our genes what to do. And it's really quite remarkable what Mother Nature has given us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, last question. What is beauty to you?
Oh, what is beauty to me? Great question. I really feel that it's that glow that I'm talking about. It's that beauty. It is that radiance, that vitality that people exude when they are healthy and happy. I think it's synonymous. Between beauty and glow. So for me, it's that same idea, because it doesn't matter what your genetic features are. It's that, you know, if you have someone who is just grounded, rock solid, has true joy in their heart, and they're strong and healthy and happy, they're gorgeous. And you see their light shine through. It's amazing.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to share this book with everybody, and the information that I get from it, I'll share as well.
Oh,
where can others pick it up?
Sure. Well, you can go to, I have a couple of websites. So there's my practice website of innersourcehealth.com. That's InnerSourceHealth health.com. And that's where we have the book for sale. We have up-to-date information on natural medicine. We're not selling you anything, but it's a great way just to get current information about all aspects of healthcare. And then my own website of Dr. Pina ND, that's drpina, PINAND.com. So that site is brand new, but you could also purchase the book there. And then the usual suspects of, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and so on.
The usual suspects.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it retails for about $15, I believe.
Yep. It's pretty, yep, I actually, it was, I think it's even cheaper on Amazon.
Yeah, probably so. A lot of information, very good information. I appreciate you being on the show, and thank you for writing the book. I mean, I'm so glad that, you know, I have the book, and it makes me more aware of a lot of things that I did not know. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure, and you guys are absolutely terrific, and keep up the amazing work. It's really been a thrill to be on show with you guys.
Thank you so much, and we are going to go, the next time we get bubble tea, we're going
to
get all of that information,
you
and we will
to.
Email
so
you
curious.
And let you know.
Please do.
Absolutely, we will let you know.
Otherwise,
now
I'm not going to sleep at night, which would be terrible.
Again, we've been talking with Dr. Pina Lojudice, and she wrote the book, The Little Book of Healthy Beauty, Simple Daily Habits to Get You Glowing. So I advise you guys to go out and pick up a copy. It'll change your life. I know it has changed mine. I've been implementing some new things. So, again, thank you for joining us. And is there anything you want to shout out? I know you did your website, but if anyone wants to follow you on social media,
they can find me on Facebook with my name, Pina Lojudice, on Twitter with the same, on Instagram. I think I hit them all, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, yes. And Twitter is at Dr. Pina ND. So any of those locations, I'll be there.
All right. So we'll follow her and see what's going on and get some great information from your social media as well.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
You.
Have a great night.
You too. Be well. Take care.
You too. All right. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, guys. This is a wonderful book. I still have a few more pages to finish, but it's definitely worth picking up. And I think, you know, for those of us who are into skin and beauty starts, like we always say, within. And like she says, your food is your medicine, so it's time for us to start watching what we're eating and start eating the right things and doing the right things for our bodies and for our overall health. So we want to get that glow like that she spoke about earlier. All right. So, again, thanks to Dr. Pina for joining us. Thanks to you guys for tuning in. I see several of you on the phone lines. Thanks for tuning in and listening. And tell a friend about the book. Again, it's The Little Book of Healthy Beauty, Simple Daily Habits to Get You Glowing. Dr. Pina Lojudice, that's spelled Lojudice. And you can follow her on all of her social media websites, social media sites as well. All right. Again, thank you for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another wonderful guest. So have a great night and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Okay.